And welcome into a Friday here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. I am Brooks Carter. This is The Local Zone. A beautiful day once again here for the most part in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Had a little bit of rain this morning, but it's trickling out and it's looking pretty good here for what has been three or four straight days of great weather, and it is almost the weekend. That's always a good thing. Welcome into the show. I am Brooks Carter, host of the show each weekday from 2 to 3 here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. This is The Local Zone. You can find the show account on Twitter at LocalZone1051. Tweet us there, and you can find my account as well at Brooks A. Carter. Be hanging out with you for the next hour or so, and we've got quite a few things to get into coming up a little bit later on today's show. In fact, next segment, we'll be joined by Ringgold High School baseball coach Brent Tucker, who has got his Ringgold Tigers off to another fantastic start this year, and more importantly, is boasting one of the most impressive win streaks seen in this area in high school sports in a while. He is now on a 35-game win streak in region play, has not dropped a game in over 2 years. Want to ask him about that and about his team. So that's all coming up next segment. Going to take a look around once more here as we're now a day before all of the spring action going on in the SEC, a lot of it rather. Everyone else is either wrapping up tonight, excluding Georgia. Everyone else in the SEC is either wrapping up tonight or tomorrow with their spring games, including Tennessee with the orange and white spring game tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Alabama's is tomorrow with their version of A-Day, as well as Auburn with their version of A-Day. Florida's is tomorrow. A lot of teams in action, so should be a lot of fun to get your little football fix going on. A little college football fix in the interim here between now and the first weekend of the college football season coming up in on Labor Day later this year. So a lot to get into today. We've had a little bit of some local high school baseball and softball action. Had a big rivalry game last night, and we've got a good local high school baseball tournament going on as well, and that is a part of our three big things. Let's get into it.
What's making the local and regional sports headlines? Find out now.
All right, we begin with a little bit of a flair for the dramatic. We've got the New Balance Chattanooga Baseball Classic going on right now. The primary host of that is East Hamilton. A lot of these games are taking place all over the Scenic City right now. I know Signal Mountain, Soddy Daisy, and Hickson are some others that are having some games in this, hosting some games in this, as well as participating in it. But I'm going to talk about Ooltewah here. Nothing like a good comeback when you're the home team in the bottom half of the last inning of the game, and that's what happened last night. So, as I mentioned, they were the home team in this game. They trailed CCS 9-6 entering the bottom of the seventh. The Owls proceeded to score four runs, though, and posted an incredible comeback victory. So, to set the kind of set the stage for what all happened last night, Peyton Kaiser led off the inning with a single. Connor Beach then came up and walked. Jacob Robinson doubled to right. Kaiser scored on that. Beach scored on a wild pitch right after that, so that got the score to 9-8. Then Tyler Phillips came up and sacrificed Robinson home, which tied the game at 9-9. And then the hero of the night coming up just a couple of batters later, they had another walk as well as, another wild pitch in there that got they've got a couple of other men on base to set it up. Trevor Dunleavy comes up and knocks one to right field and drives home the game-winning run. That is always an outstanding. Well, I mean, if you've never been to a baseball game where there's been a walk-off hit involved, I've never been to one where this big of a comeback has happened in the ninth inning or in the bottom half, whether it be seventh inning in high school baseball or ninth inning. Once you get up into college or minor or major league baseball, but it's one of the more incredible things in terms of just overall excitement from a sporting event, because like with a buzzer beater in baseball, you know that a team is within a few points, you know that they've at least got a shot. when you come up and you're down a handful of runs in the bottom half and you're the home team, there's no guarantee that you're going to get an opportunity for a walk-off. You have to really scratch and claw your way to get back into the game to have an opportunity to do that. So kudos to Ottawa last night with a really fun and exciting game. As I mentioned, though, that tournament's going to be going on today as well as throughout the course of the weekend. That is the New Balance Chattanooga Baseball Classic, and that includes several local teams, as I mentioned. Signal Mountain, Soddy Daisy, Hickson, East Hamilton is the primary host of the tournament. A lot of good action in baseball going on over the course of the weekend, so you can go check that out as well. I know we've got a couple other teams playing up in Knoxville in a big tournament this weekend as well. That includes Bradley Central. So kind of a little bit of a non-region, non-district rather, baseball action to break the mold from district play here over the weekend for a lot of these TSSAA teams locally. Moving on to number two. One of the great softball rivalries in the area. Pretty much any time these two teams lock up in any sport in women's high school athletics. We had GPS and Baylor last night. A second inning grand slam led the way for GPS as they shut out their arch rival Baylor 5-0. Ainsley Blevings was the one who had the grand slam for GPS. And then it was just a cakewalk from there as they led behind great pitching from GPS. They went on to win that one 5-0. And GPS is off to a really good start here. They are now right up towards the top of the region standings. And this was a big win for them as well, because not only does this boast them forward going towards postseason play here, they beat the team that was unbeaten in region play coming in. So with this loss, Baylor drops to 17-2 on the season and 4-1 in region play. So, I mean, this was a huge deal for GPS to get this win over Baylor. And you have to think that this is going to really pump them up going towards the postseason and really get it going for them. And the thing about when you're able to go out and beat your arch rival in a game that you're not favored in, especially in the fashion that they did it, that is a big deal and can just totally tilt the momentum of your team moving forward throughout the rest of the year. And that's what happened here last night, and it's going to be fun to see what GPS is able to do the rest of the year. Once again, taking down their arch rival 5-0, GPS over Baylor. In some other softball action, Soddy Daisy takes down Ottawa. This one included a 9-run, 2-out rally for a comeback. You know, we talked about the Ottawa comeback. This one, maybe just a little bit better. Soddy Daisy with a massive comeback win over Ottawa. That's some other softball action going on around the area. Moving on to some very important notes of interest here with the number one item on my three big things. Keith Mitchell. We all know him, right? Yeah. Keith Mitchell, scoring update from the Masters right now. He finished at even par yesterday, did a great job of getting back to even par after he double bogeyed the 14th yesterday. He had an eagle and a birdie on the 15th and 16th, and then parred the last two holes to get to even par on the day. Through the first six holes today, he was even par on all six holes. Then on the 7th, had another eagle to get to minus two, and then followed that up with a birdie on the 8th. So he is now minus 3 for the tournament. And looking at the live leaderboard, he is just 3 shots off the lead. He is now tied for 10th and has moved himself into a really good position here approaching the back nine. He's only through eight, so just one more hole here on the front nine. But three shots off the lead right now. Keith has had an incredible year, as you know. Winner of the Honda Classic, has had a handful of top 10 finishes as well. And he is positioning himself for a really good, positioning himself really well for the weekend here. Just so you know, Ian Poulter and Francisco Molinari are sitting at the top at minus six. And Keith Mitchell trails. Next up in the standings would be Phil at minus four, Dustin Johnson at minus four, Bryson DeChambeau at minus four, Matt Kuchar at minus four, and as well as Patton Kizzard at minus four. And Brooks Koepka and Jason Day are both at minus five as well. So Keith Mitchell right up there with all the big names right now. The other guys sitting at minus three include Adam Scott, Justin Harding, some guy whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce here. He's through 14 holes, though. I'll have to ask Wells if he can take a crack at that one during the break. But then also, John Ram is also at minus three, and he is not even teed off for today. That's coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. But, yeah, so Keith just three shots off the lead through eight holes. He has had probably, I would say, one of the better starts to the day. The only other person who has a better score on the day right now is Molinari, who is minus four through 12 holes. So Keith is pacing right at that same pace, though. If he can equal on the back nine what he's done on the front nine, then he'll be right up there at the top of the leaderboard, assuming no one else. That's a big assumption, though. Assuming Poulter or Molinari don't birdie any more holes, he would be tied with the lead if he can equal what he did on the front nine, on the back nine. So once again, Keith Mitchell minus three for the day and minus three overall for the tournament. When we come back, going to be joined by Ringgold High School baseball coach Brent Tucker to talk about their incredible season. They are 22-4 on the year and have won 35 consecutive region games dating back all the way past all the way back to 2017. His team is ranked among the top five in the state from just about every single Georgia high school publication that I've seen. Really excited to talk to him and his great baseball team and a great baseball tradition that they have down there in Ringgold, Georgia. Stay tuned. This is the Local Zone, ESPN 105.1 The Zone, ESPNChattanooga.com. Welcome back into the Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. 19 minutes past the top of the hour of 2 o'clock on a Friday in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I am Brooks Carter, host of the show. You can find me on Twitter at Brooks A. Carter. Find the show account at Local Zone 105.1. And you can find the Ringgold High School baseball Twitter account at RHS_baseball14. And the reason you might want to do that is we're joined by their head coach on the phone line, Brent Tucker. Coach, how's it going?
It's going well. That time of year, a little tired, but things are going well.
I would say so. And your team has had an incredible start to the year, and they've just been on an incredible run when it comes to region play over the course of the last few years. If I have done my numbers correctly, y'all have won 35 consecutive region games. I'll ask you a little bit about that coming up here in just a second, but looking at what's ahead of you for right now, this team is unbeaten in region play, but you've got a really, really talented team in Calhoun kind of nipping at your heels who have only dropped two games. Two of the best two teams in the state, in fact, according to all the polls that I've seen. Looking at what you've got right now here between now and the postseason, what's the message to your team?
Just keep doing what we've been doing all year. You know, we work hard at practice. We stay within ourselves and just keep taking things one game at a time. And you know, don't look ahead at anything. You know, we try to show up to work every day and earn what we get. That's been our philosophy for a long time around here, and just continue with that.
Now, I obviously just referenced the win streak, and I'm not even really sure if you're accounting or aware of that, but I did see that a couple of weeks ago, and I've started counting since then. How amazing is it for you to kind of just sit back and look at how successful you and your program have been able to be over a course of several years?
The win streak thing, we don't even talk about. You know, again, we just focus one game at a time. And at the end of the year, we look back at it and see what we've accomplished. And, you know, last night we clinched at least a tie for our fifth straight region championship. We need one more to be the one seed by ourselves, win that championship outright. And it's just, yeah, you have a lot of good players, a lot of dedicated players. They put their time in, they work hard, and it's good to see them have the success that they're having.
Now, you've been there for a while now, and establishing a baseball tradition like you've had there with a lot of success over the years, have you been able to kind of see some of the guys perhaps that – started that you saw a long time ago that maybe were, you know, coming to games as younger kids, and now they're up at the high school level and wanting to be a part of that tradition. Have you seen that kind of come to fruition? Because that's something I've always enjoyed talking with coaches about who've been around for a while and have seen and established a tradition. These kids love. They grow up wanting to play for these teams, and then they get up there, and it's like, man, this is pretty cool.
I love seeing those 6-7-year-olds eat nachos or chewing bubble gum right beside the dugout. Those are going to be the good ones. And I've seen it. With my son being a senior this year, I've actually coached some of the kids on the team since they were 7 years old, and some of them since they were 6. And, you know, we got a group here that want to – 6-year-old championship at the rec department together. So, you know, seeing them grow up, seeing them come all the way through, and just watch them just grow individually as a person and as a player. And it's fun to watch. And yeah, I've had that luxury to see a lot of kids around here going through middle school, all the way through high school. They come to my camp when they're younger. And it's fun to watch.
Now, Coach, obviously, I've kept referencing that baseball tradition. You just mentioned you've clinched at least a tie for a fifth straight region championship, which would be the program's 19th overall, and secures you a spot in what will be your 27th state playoff appearance. Reading through the bio on your Twitter account here, though, a lot of big numbers, a lot of things stick out to you here. You got 8 Sweet 16s, 6 Elite 8s, made the Final Four, 5-time state runner-up. What is it going to take to break through and finally bring home the hardware?
You know, if you keep knocking on that door, sooner or later it's going to get answered. And we've had some really good teams around here dating all the way back to the 50s. And nobody's ever been able to kick that door down. And trust me, that is talked about. Things always come up. And, you know, I'd love for this team to be the first one to do it. Last year we were close. We've been close 2010, 2012, and 2011, really. But it and there's some other years in there, too, we've been close. I just lose track. But there's a lot of good teams in the state of Georgia. A lot of good teams in AAA baseball in the state, and we've got to you know, just keep pounding that door, and sooner or later it's going to open around here.
Hopefully so. I'd love to see y'all finally get the monkey off your back, because that's
that
is something that when you're able to boast as much as you're able to, you'd think that involved in that would have been a state championship. And that I'm sure that's funny that you said that. That is talked about. We don't talk about anything else, but that is something we talk about.
We don't talk about it, but, man, we're kind of like Charles Barkley. We never got that NBA title. We just kind of, you know, like I said, just keep pounding the door.
Yeah, so
we've had a great teams, and we just got to get there somehow.
So let's look at this class of players. I'm kind of interested now that you talked about with your son being a senior on this team in a a class that you're very heavily invested in. I've kind of seen this a couple of times on the local front with coaches who have had their kids come up with a group of players that they've been very familiar with over the years. I'm sure that's the case with you, as you just mentioned. Let's talk about this team, some of the key contributors, some names that people around the Chattanooga metro area who haven't seen your team play should know about.
You know, the name everybody knows, and rightly so, Andre Tarver. I mean, Mr. Swag, he's always out there making plays, hitting.
Mississippi State signee, correct?
Mississippi State, and he always brings that excitement to a game. Holden Tucker, Charleston Southern University signee, third Division I signee. He's pitcher outfielder. Always consistent, always showing up ready to play. You know, throwing the ball well this year on the mound, hit the ball well. Good leader on the team. Dalton Slay, behind the plate in third base. He's going to go to Cleveland State and play baseball. He tremendous hitter. Tremendous behind the plate, good athlete at third base. He's one of them, both of them, and 6-7 years old, seen them grow up. And Dalton's also a good leader on the team. He's also very just consistent. He just shows up ready to play. All these guys do. Wyatt Tennant is signed to go to Young Harris on the mound, left-handed pitcher, also an outfielder. And just continues to grow and do well. Having a tremendous year offensively so far this year, and good athlete, good speed, and then you got some guys, excellent ball players, seniors, Johnny Camelucci, Owen McCorder, both of them pitch, both of them play a position. Johnny's at first base, Owen's at second base, and he's doing a great job for us. And some of the talented younger guys, Braden Broom, shortstop. Then you get some sophomores and some freshmen mixed in there, and you put together a pretty good team.
Coach, obviously when you've had a pretty good team over the years like this, and I've seen it, having grown up in North Georgia as well, I'm familiar with how good Ringgold's been with baseball over the years. And I've been down there for Friday Night Football as well. That is a very just passionate community when it comes to supporting their Ringgold Tigers and stuff like that. How much have you seen that fan base really kind of help propel this team over the years, and kind of talk about them?
Well, I'm going to get on them a little bit here. I might get in trouble for this one, but they've gotten a little spoiled on me in baseball. That happens. They hold off to the state playoffs, and but no, we have tremendous support. We have a preseason banquet every year. I think this year there's 480 people there.
That's incredible.
And, it's tremendous. And every year there'll be 400 plus people there. And we have guest speakers. We have former Ringo baseball players come back to speak, and just the support in the community is unbelievable. And state playoff time, I guarantee they'll roll out here, and the place will be packed. They'll be, depending on what round, each round it gets bigger. But and then if we're on the road, once we're in the state playoffs, it don't matter if we're home or on the road, they're going to show up.
Yes.
I would like to see them here Tuesday night for senior night. I'll get that in. Game time 5:55. These seniors deserve a nice crowd. But just tremendous support,
and that will be against LFO, if I'm not mistaken, looking through your schedule.
Yes.
Here. Okay.
Yes.
It's funny that you said that. I having been attending the University of Alabama, an alumni there, I was there kind of right at the beginning of the Saban era, and I say the same thing about all my guys over there in Tuscaloosa. They are so spoiled now with everything. So I kind of feel you on that one. That's funny that you said that it's a level of expectation that you've established, but
yeah.
With that sometimes kind of comes a level of complacency from a fan base that gets comfortable with those expectations.
Yeah. The other night we played a one-runner game, and you know, coming off the field, people were almost like, we lost. And I'm like, guys, we won. We played a good ball game. You know, we won. So it, but no, I mean that very humbling. And, but so the expectations are just there that, and it's a tough region. We've been able to get through some hurdles this year and win some close games, but the expectations will keep you hungry, you know, it'll keep you working.
So as he just mentioned, if you want to come out and support the Ringgold Tigers, senior night coming up next Tuesday on April 16th, 5:55 first pitch against Lakeview Fort Oglethorpe, a little inter-county rival there in Catoosa County. Yep. Talking with Coach Brent Tucker. Coach, thank you for coming on. Congratulations on all the success this year that you've had. And trust me, we are rooting for you to break down that door that you've talked about and bring home the hardware for the first time.
I appreciate that, and thank you for having me on today and everything you guys do for us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach. Once again, that was Brent Tucker, head coach of the Ringgold High School Baseball Tigers. A very, very talented group down there, a very good baseball tradition. As I just read through their bio on Twitter, he's been the head coach down there for quite some time. 18 region titles, 26 state playoff appearances, 8 Sweet 16s, 6 Elite 8s, made the Final Four 8 times. Or sorry, 6 times as well as the Elite Eight. 5-time state runner-up. They've been there 5 times on the brink of a state championship, haven't gotten through. Maybe this is the year with this group of kids that involves his son being a senior there. So going to be following them pretty closely as the postseason approaches. They only got 4 games left in the regular season before they get it cranked up and moving on into Georgia High School baseball playoffs. Stay tuned. This is the Local Zone. Coming up next, we're going to look around at some scores, as we always do right around the third segment of the show, from the high school sports front from last night. Kind of funny thing happened yesterday also after we got off the show. That poll that I put out yesterday took an interesting turn and got a hold, one of the local fan bases got a hold of it. We'll talk about that coming up, as well as if you want to start to chime in on your volunteers ahead of the Orange and White spring game. What are you most looking forward to? What do you want to see from Tennessee tomorrow? Going into year 2 of the Jeremy Pruitt era. All that and more. Stay tuned. This is the Local Zone, ESPN 105 on the Zone, ESPNChattanooga.com.
Welcome back to the Local Zone on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Call the show now at 648-1051 or tweet the show at Local Zone 105.1.
2:39 here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Friday afternoon on the Local Zone on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. I am Brooks Carter, hanging out with you for about 20 more minutes before David and Jay will take you home for the week on Press Row from 3 to 6, as they do each weekday. Let's jump into some local scores from around the area last night. Starting with the baseball side of things. Christian Heritage falling to North Cobb Christian, 7-0. Gilmer taking down Southeast Whitfield, 7-6. North Murray falling to Harrelson County, 6-2. Gordon Lee, a big number once again. This is the second straight day that they've put up big numbers. 21-4 over Mount Zion. Heritage 11-8 over Lafayette. Northwest Whitfield 9-0 over Pickens. That is their third win in 3 days over Pickens. Moving up into Tennessee now. East Ridge over Notre Dame 8-4. Ringgold 4-0 over Calhoun 4-0 over Ridgeland. That's back down in Georgia. Speaking of Ringgold, who we just talked with, Brent Tucker, their head coach, 12-0 over Cahola yesterday to improve to 22-4. And as he mentioned, clinch at least a share of a 5th straight region title in 6-3A. Dalton victorious over Sequoia, 6-4. LFO a winner over Murray County, 6-1. Polk County, 6-4 over Tyner Academy. Lookout Valley, 16-6. Over Whitwell. Lookout Valley improves to 14-4 on the year. Bradley Central falling to CAK, Christian Academy, Knoxville, up in that tournament that they're playing in Knoxville this weekend. Silverdale took down Tyner 15-3. Another Georgia score. Dade County 1-0 over Model. We talked about Ottawa earlier. They had that big-time comeback over CCS in the bottom of the seventh inning as the home team. They were a 10-9 winner over CCS. Hickson 5-4 winners over Soddy Daisy. And Grace Baptist 4-2 winners over Chattanooga Central. And Red Bank 14-3 over Sail Creek. And then finally, Meigs County 13-0 winners over CSAS, Chattanooga Arts and Sciences. On the softball side of things from yesterday, a lot of teams typically in action here on Thursday and Friday, and that was the case as well. Yesterday, East Hamilton 11-1 over Bradley Central. Bledsoe County 9-0 over Stone Memorial. Soddy Daisy 13-9 over Ottawa. They had that nine-run rally on two outs that I just referenced from early in the show to build that big-time lead over Ottawa. Sail Creek continues their good season as they improve to 11-5 overall in the year, and they continue to stay in first place in Region 4-1A in softball right now. 11-0 winners over Copper Basin. Cleveland 6-5 winners over McMinn County. Squatchie County 10-0 over Grundy. Chattanooga Arts and Sciences 11-6 over Lookout Valley. Polk County 11-1 over McMinn Central. Warren County taking down Ray County 11-1. And Red Bank 12-2 winners over Chattanooga Central. That is in softball from yesterday. And looking at boys soccer now, Dade County 2-0 winners over Chattooga. Father Ryan taking down Baylor 1-0. Sail Creek 5-1 over Greenback. We had a 1-1 tie between CCS and St. Andrews out of Suwanee. Chattanooga Central falling to Sequoia 4-1. Murray County 10-0 winners over Christian Heritage. Big number there. Southeast Whitfield and Northwest Whitfield. Little inter-county rivalry there. That is a big-time matchup anytime those two teams get together in soccer. They're a 1-0 winner. Southeast was over Northwest Whitfield. Tryon 1-0 winners over Adairsville. Ray County 5-1 over Warren County. Once again, this is boys soccer. Bledsoe County falling to Sweetwater 6-3. East Hamilton 9-0 over McMinn Central. Soddy over White County 3-1. Boyd Buchanan 6-1 over Notre Dame. Red Bank 2-0 over Hickson. And Chattanooga Arts and Sciences 11-0 over Lookout Valley. And then just a couple of more here on the boys' soccer. Ottawa falling to Carnes 5-1. And Grace Baptist 1-0 over Silverdale Academy. Opening it up to a little bit of some other topics I wanted to talk about here. You know, yesterday I put out that poll question in the second segment of the show about if you had a free event, if you were offered free tickets to one of the event, one of these three sporting events, which would you be most likely to accept? A Chattanooga Lookouts game, a Chattanooga Red Wolves game, or a Chattanooga Football Club game, CFC. Well, when I went off the air yesterday, this thing was overwhelmingly trending with, it was a below 100 votes, and it was about 60% in favor of the Chattanooga Lookouts. And CFC was right there around like 25%, and the Red Wolves were coming in last there with whatever percentage points were left. The Chattahooligans CFC fan base got a hold of this, and several accounts have retweeted it. This thing is now up over 350 votes, and they swung this vote. It's 70% in favor of CFC now. So they'll come out when you want them to on social media. CFC swung the vote big time. I just thought that was funny, and it's very obvious. Anybody, as I've been associated with this radio station, and we, you know, put out a daily poll question with Press Row on the Papa John's poll question. A lot of times, the results that you get back is kind of contingent upon who may retweet it, or you know what the question is and who it may or may not fire up if it's something kind of deemed controversial, which the way that CFC fan base reacted, they were like, yes, we must win this vote because we must pound out and drown the Red Wolves, which is what they did here. I mean, that's incredible. For in a 24-hour time span to take the Lookouts, who were at 60% of the vote, and have them down now at only 22% of the vote, and CFC is getting 70%. But Twitter polls are a funny thing. I've seen it so many times where if you get like a certain fan base or something that retweets or picks up traction with a poll question, it just totally changes the responses and who's going to vote what. And that's definitely the case with this one, because I think just the casual fan was probably voting yesterday. And I agree that probably most people in Chattanooga are going to have more loyalty to CFC than the Red Wolves on the soccer front. But in general, I would say that most people are probably rather going to want to go to a baseball game than a soccer game. Most people in our audience here, I know that we have a very, very loyal soccer core group of people in Chattanooga. We love those people. But generally speaking, most people would probably rather go to a baseball game. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Coming up on about 12 minutes till the top of the hour here, want to look around some of the SEC spring games coming up tomorrow. We did this a little bit earlier during the week, but just to run through once again, tonight you've got Kentucky in the blue and white game at 6 p.m. That is on the SEC Network. Got a 1 p.m. kickoff tomorrow for the Florida spring game. That's orange and white. That's on the SEC Alternate Network. Alabama's A-Day is on ESPN2. That is a 2 p.m. Kickoff. Then you've got also at 2 p.m. the Mississippi State Maroon and White game on ESPNU. Texas A&M and what is also called the Maroon and White game on the SEC Network. I wonder if they're going to have the same fight that the crazies over in the state of Alabama have over who has what the origin of A-Day is, the way that Alabama and Auburn do. They're going to fight for the Maroon and White game. That one's at 2 p.m., as I mentioned, though. Texas A&M, they'll be on the SEC Network. At 4 p.m., Auburn with their version of A-Day. That is coming up at 4 p.m., as I just mentioned, on the SEC Network. The Black and Gold spring game for Missouri, that is at 4 p.m. on ESPNU. And then also, wrapping up the night, the Vols with a 6 p.m. kick in the orange and white spring game on the SEC Network. The only one that will be left after that in the SEC who has not concluded spring drills will be the Georgia Bulldogs, and they will have G-Day next Saturday on the 20th. And I'll be interested. They've done a really good job in the Kirby Smart era of having big crowds at their spring game. I know they broke the record his first year with the 93K thing that they were you know, pumping up on social media. That's the Saturday before Easter, so I'll be interested to see what kind of crowd they get there. Maybe some morality complex there. I mean, do you want to go? I'm obviously joking here, but do you want to go do a hardcore SEC tailgate the day before your "He is risen" tweets? I don't know. But looking specifically at some of the games we have coming up tomorrow, love the nighttime kickoff for Tennessee. I think that's going to help boost attendance at a game, at a spring game that has kind of – SEC spring practice and has just kind of lost its luster in general. I haven't seen as much about or seen as big of a deal made out of just spring drills in general this year. Maybe that's just because people don't care enough anymore. We already have enough distractions in our world in 2019, so they just don't care as much. I'm just interested to see what the attendance is going to look like for Tennessee tomorrow, as well as all these other games around the SEC, because it feels like they're dwindling more and more each year. And the only time you ever really get that big number attendance wise is kind of feels like when you have a new head coach who's trying to get some momentum and maybe trying to establish it for a recruiting standpoint or something. Speaking of, Tennessee has 12 recruits who will be at the Orange and White spring game tomorrow. So I'm sure Pruitt would appreciate a good turnout for those 12 guys in attendance. We're going to take our last break of the show here on the Local Zone on ESPN 105 on the Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more. Welcome back in. Just a few minutes here left in the show. And I know David and Jay will keep you updated on the full realm of what's going on with the Masters updates and everything, but did wanted to keep you updated on Keith Mitchell right now. He is at -2 for the day as well as the tournament as he shot even par yesterday. He did bogey the last hole on the front nine and shot even on the 10th, so he parred the 10th. So Keith is now looking at where he's at on the big leaderboard. He is now tied for 15th overall, and Molinari is at -7. So he's 5 shots off the lead here in day 2 of the Masters. Going back to touching on some of these spring games and stuff, it has lost some of its luster, I do believe, but there's still a lot to look at from anyone who's interested in the Tennessee football program just because of everyone wanting to see what's to offer from the Vols this year. Pruitt has talked about a couple of different guys this year, and I thought this was interesting. His assistant coach, Derek Ansley, was quoted in a story from WATE, that's the ABC affiliate, Channel 6 up in Knoxville, talking about how he coached with not Derek Ansley, I'm mistaken, Chris Rump, who coached with he's the new outside linebackers coach for Tennessee. He coached with Pruitt at Alabama, and he said he's seen a massive difference in Pruitt in just his second year on the job as a head coach. And that's always an interesting thing to look at. If you look at guys who have never had any head coaching experience running a program, how they transition from year one to year two, and how a lot of times they make so many mistakes in year one just from a lack of experience, maybe some ignorance of not having run a program before. You think back to Derek Mason year one at Vanderbilt and how much of just an absolute dumpster fire his first year was in Nashville. He was running the defense. He'd come out and said a lot of things talking about, I think he said, the expectation here is supposed to be, we can win the SEC East. Then he also, he made some coaching changes after his first year. Brought in Andy Ludwig as the offensive coordinator. We've seen Jeremy Pruitt now do that, where he's made some changes with his coaching staff, bringing in a new offensive coordinator. I think it takes a year or so with guys who are new to being a head coach to get comfortable with themselves, comfortable with the program they're surrounded by. And I'm very excited to see what Tennessee has to offer in year two of the Jeremy Pruitt era. And, they've got a schedule that's not really unmanageable when you think about it from that perspective, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Orange and White spring game coming up tomorrow at 6 p.m. on the SEC Network. Press Row is coming up next here from 3 to 6 on ESPN 105 on the Zone. David Jane Wells will take you home on a Friday afternoon here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thanks for tuning in, guys. That's coming up next.